Okay, so this is, we're going to open the Boulder Planning Commission meeting of January 14th, 2021. It's 6 o'clock. And we'll go ahead and start by approving the agenda. Do I have a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve the agenda. This is Cookie.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Haley Apperson, aye.
Cookie Shouse, aye.
Matt Cochran, aye.
Chelsea Mews, aye.
And Colleen Thompson, aye. And then we need a motion. At first, did everyone get a chance to look at the December minutes? And is there anything anybody would like to say about the December minutes? And I wasn't there in December, so I'll go ahead and make a motion to approve the December minutes, and I won't vote.
I'll second that motion. All in favor? Matt Cochran, aye.
Haley Apperson, aye.
Josie Mews, aye.
Okay, so tonight, last year we were asked by the mayor to take a look at the table of uses, and by when we started that, we had Josie and Matt hold meetings with citizens from Boulder and take a look at the table of uses, and so we've been working hand in hand with that information and Lee Nellis, who has been helping us as a planner. And tonight, what we're going to do is we're going to have him give us a summary of what we came up with, some documents that we've been working on. And as he is explaining it, we're going to open it up to the public for any questions regarding these things that we have been working on, these development standards. And then we will have go into the public hearing, and then we will have statements from people to make. And then we'll close the hearing and go on to discussions with the Planning Commission. So I'm going to go ahead and open it up to you, Lee.
Peg, did you want to do that OTMA little training first?
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I think Peg's got a couple of minutes worth of things you guys are supposed to do first.
Yep, I'm sorry. I don't know why I did not see that. Sorry, Peg.
That's okay. I was ready to go with whatever you wanted to do. So,
okay, so we're scratch that, and we're going to have an open and public meetings training from Peg first. I'm sorry.
But that was a nice intro to the other, I would
Thank
say.
You.
So everyone should just remember that. This is going to take hopefully 5 minutes or less, because all of you are experienced. So basically, the Open and Public Meetings Act, if part of the Utah State Code, you can Google Utah open meetings and open public and meeting, open meetings and open public meetings. You can Google that if you want to read the code. There's essentially three main components. One deals with definition of meetings and the details related to those. Then there's a segment that deals with notification of meetings. And then the record of meetings. So just quickly, are you seeing the screen right now that I'm sharing or not?
Yes.
Okay. I guess I could do the slideshow and make it prettier. So basically, anytime that there's a public body that convenes with a quorum present for the purpose of attending to matters over which they have jurisdiction or advisory power, That is a meeting, and all meetings are open and public meetings by definition. So So what that means is the public is invited to attend and welcome to observe the making of their rules and laws and spending of money and so on and so forth. The intent of that is, of course, transparency and to conduct your business openly. So there is the capability of going into a closed session, but for the Planning Commission, I don't see that there's any, there's no reason that the Planning Commission would ever need to close a meeting under the stipulations of what they can close a meeting for under state law. So basically, I'm skipping the whole part that deals with closed meetings because Planning Commission doesn't do that. And part of a public meeting is a public hearing, such as what you're doing tonight. You go into a public hearing from a public meeting, and the difference of that is the meeting is any kind of discussion of business. But in any given meeting, there's not a requirement that the public be heard. It's always a nice idea, but there's not a requirement. The public hearing portion of a public meeting is expressly to hear the comments of the public. And the idea of that is that there's really, it's not an open dialogue. It's not even a Q&A. It's the public getting up and making a statement about what they feel about the issue that's before them. So it's a very formal thing. Whoever's recording the meeting has to take notes of who is speaking, actually whoever's there, who is speaking and substantively what they had to say. So it's important to catch a clear record of that. And that's why it's important for the recording to state the name of the person who's making a comment and allow them to have, if you need to put a time stipulation on, you can, as long as it's across the board. And then they make a basic statement. It should be a clear, coherent statement that can actually be captured in the minutes. So then you go into the notification, which is another big part of open meetings law. And notification of any regular public meeting is at least 24 hours in advance. And that notification is posted on the website, the Utah Public Meeting Notice website. It can be printed in the newspaper. At least the newspaper should be notified. Posted on the bulletin board. There are several different ways of posting notice. And in Boulder, you notice we have tried to get pegboards out. It's on the bulletin board, three bulletin boards in town physically, on the town's website, on the Utah Public Meeting notice site. So notification always goes out at least 24 hours in advance of any public meeting. Public hearing, if there's going to be a public hearing, there's a 10-day requirement for that notification. That's partly to allow people to understand what's coming up and to read materials before them and so on and so forth. So that does have to be published in the newspaper. And then finally, records of open meetings. Do you have to keep minutes or recordings? Yes and yes. The minutes are still considered the official record, although the recording is going to be available sooner than the minutes. The recordings are to be made available 3 days after the meeting. So if you go onto the Boulder Town website, for example, you will see the uploads of the recordings of the meeting. The minutes take longer to produce, and so the pending minutes can be posted. The approved minutes need to be posted within 3 days after they're approved. But usually there's a lag of, 3 weeks to a month of getting the minutes actually up. I'll say that generically for both Michelle and I, that takes a couple to 3 weeks, let's just say, for the minutes. But the recordings are available within 3 days. And that's all I have. Do you have any questions about that?
No.
If you want the details. Oh, and by the way, I do want to plug the state auditor's training website that Steve had given us the URL to. It's got a little bit more detail. You can read all up on closed meetings and things of that nature, and it's got a lot of good detail. So now we can go into the rest, Colleen.
And I will say that we're required to do that in January, and that's why we plugged that in.
Yes. So, I think the requirement is the first meeting of the month or near. And the other thing, too, is that the town clerk is required to actually post what you guys will decide later, which is setting the 2021 meeting date and time. So that has to be posted for everyone to see as well, the yearly schedule. So.
Okay, thank you, Peg.
Okay.
And it's all yours, Lee.
All righty, thank you, Colleen.
Thank you.
So we have a lot of material that we have been working on since April. And here we are with the proposal to bring to the public and ultimately to the town council. And the best way to understand what the Planning Commission has been working on, many of you have seen bits and pieces of it, but the best way to understand it is to go back to the beginning when we started and say, what was the goal? And then try to apply that. And the goal was to do a good job of reviewing commercial development in Boulder. And so we're going to take a hypothetical proposed commercial project on a real site. And we're going to go through it to show you what the Planning Commission has talked about and done over the past several months. That makes it a lot more tangible than just trying to look at these standards independent of any way that they would be applied. So we have on the screen a simple site plan for a project called the Boulder Beans, the Slick Rock Salsa. And this would be both retail sales and manufacturing. So it qualifies as a commercial use under Boulder zoning. And you can see here, to run quickly through what we're going to talk about, there is a monument sign. There is a new access drive from this parcel of land out to Utah 12. There are 8 parking spaces in front of the old gas station, which would be restored and used as the retail outlet. There is a picnic area beside that, to the west of that. There are 8 parking spaces behind it as well. The intent is to save the trees, but some of them might have to come out for safety reasons. Next to the southern 8 parking spaces is a duplex for employee housing. And then finally, at the south end of the project is a processing plant, which is a roughly 30 by roughly 70 steel building with a small bean elevator attached to it. And there is a parking and loading area in front of that so that trucks can maneuver in and out of there. And the intent here would be to take locally produced beans and vegetables and create packaged bean dishes and salsa for sale up in the old restored gas station. Those of you who are listening in may have passed through Dove Creek, Colorado, which is not actually all that far from Boulder, and seen the adobe milling business there, which sells Anasazi beans and salsas and things. And I kind of patterned this on adobe milling in terms of an enterprise that could work at least in Boulder. Boulder and Dove Creek are within 100 feet of the same elevation, so you could certainly expect to raise all the same crops and have the same type of agricultural enterprise operating in Boulder that they do over in Colorado. So that's a very quick run through. You can see that trees are being planted there in addition to the existing trees that are mostly at least preserved. There are trees to the north of the 8 parking spaces and then trees down along the western boundary of the project. And so, Peg, if you could switch over to that notes page, we'll try to make sure we've covered everything we need to about this hypothetical project. Okay, so there are 16 parking spaces for customers with a loading area in back. The restored gas station would have a small addition, which would get it up to about 880 square feet. It's not a very large, not going to be a very large building in this hypothetical plan either. The processing plant would be about 2,800 square feet, 30 feet high, give or take at the eaves. It's a steel building. And what you have there is a picture of that building with the bean elevator attached in its present location, and it would be moved onto the site in Boulder. So you can see what it looks like, what color it is. The big silo in the back is not part of the deal. That's part of the location where it sits right now. You can see the sign that is proposed there with the words and the background of beams on a sandstone base. It's a 5x8 sign, fits into the sign requirements of Chapter 10 in the Boulder Zoning Ordinance. You can see what the duplex for employees would look like. This was taken out of a stock, a plan that I came across. And it's a very simple 1600 square foot building with a single car garage for each of the duplexes. And we'd be there to provide housing potentially for an owner, but most likely for employees. So that's the project. Now, in putting together a hypothetical project that we have to go through pretty quickly for a meeting, I didn't dot every I or cross every T, as you'll see when we go through the checklist, but this is more than enough to talk about. And so we'll go through the checklist, but first let's make sure that there are no questions about this hypothetical project that we're thinking about here. Everybody pretty clear on that?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. So here is the commercial standards review worksheet. This is an upshot of the amendments that are proposed for the Boulder Zoning Ordinance. There are roughly 65 lines across here, each of which deals with one pretty specific aspect of potential commercial development. And the Planning Commission has been back and forth over this for the past several months, refining lease standards to suit Boulder as best they believe they can. And so we're going to go through here. We're going to go fairly quickly, just so that people understand the methodology that the Planning Commission would use to review a project and what the standards include. We can't linger very long on all of them or we'll be here for an hour. So we're going to go fast. And I think in order to go quick here, the best thing is to say, wait until I'm finished for questions. So if you have this commercial worksheet in front of you, which was part of the package for the hearing, you could pull it out and follow along with me. If you look at that worksheet, you'll see that it has two types of standards, absolute, which are standards with which the project absolutely must comply, relative standards, which allow the town some discretion in evaluating a project. It's not possible to get every aspect of a project like this boiled down to black or white. And so we have these relative standards, each of which has a weight or an importance, and then points are assigned in accord with what you see on the check sheet here, the worksheet. And then when you review a project, you go over to the far right-hand side of the worksheet and start filling in those blanks with what you see. It's very seldom you find a project to which you will have all of these things apply. And this one is no exception. So some of these will dash through quite quickly because they're not applicable. One of the main things that we discussed at great length with the Planning Commission was the impacts that development has on traffic or could have on traffic in Boulder and on the roads, many of which do not have a high capacity for traffic. And in the end, it was decided that it would be absolutely required that commercial projects have access, direct access to Utah 12. Now, I want to pause there to say one important thing for those who are listening who have not followed the Planning Commission all the way through. We're not talking about home businesses here. A home business that meets the home business performance standards that are in the amendments can be anywhere that it meets those standards. So we're talking about bigger commercial projects that are not at the scale of some enterprise that someone conducts in their home. And this project would comply with that because it has access directly to Utah 12.
He could wind up in a stalemate.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So. I can't hear any of that. Can you guys? Or
yeah, I would say anyone who is not talking, please put on their mute button. We're picking up background conversations.
Yeah. So he took his
marbles
and he went home. Yeah. I told
her. Michela, can you mute these people as the host?
I'm trying to figure out who it is. I think Judith joined and she was unmuted. I think that's where it was coming from.
I do too.
Can you go ahead?
I'm going through and muting.
Yeah, Judith, if you could hit mute on yours again, I think it's your background noise that we're hearing.
Okay.
Can you just go ahead and go? Does that kind
of... Sinbad, the beast within.
Yeah, that's Bill.
Does anybody know her number and can call her? Anybody?
No.
Who are we talking about here? I can't see.
Judith Guile, Judith and Bill.
Hi, it's me. It's Judith. I plus mute and it's not registering.
Okay.
Oh.
Maybe you could just hold off on your conversation.
Okay. There I...
There goes.
I think I muted her there.
Okay.
Okay. Keep going. Sorry.
We can continue, I think. So the second standard talks about having no commercial development in an overlay district that exists in the town's present zoning ordinance, which is basically the hillsides and mesa tops zoning overlay district. This isn't in that, so we'll just skip right on. The next standard talks about buffering water courses, primarily Boulder Creek, but also tributaries and, excuse me, different irrigation works. And that's not affected by this particular project, so we will move right on. But that's a pretty important policy or standard in the overall scheme of things here. The next one, 2C, talks about moderate slopes. Again, moderate slopes are not involved here, but there is a relative policy, a relative performance standard that allows the Planning Commission to consider the impact of development on slopes between 15 and 30%. The crossings 2D simply provides that you can have a trail, walk, or a road crossing or a utility crossing of a slope or a buffer. 2E is one of the more interesting standards that we have here. Talks about views and natural features and whether the way a site is used contributes to the scenic values and protects natural features on that site. And that being a relative standard, people could either gain or lose points on it. the Planning Commission would be making that decision based on what they learn about the project. And C, I haven't scored these explicitly. I'm going to say that this one, because it gets into retaining vegetation that exists there, certainly is at least neutral. But it doesn't really affect outstanding views or other outstanding natural features. So it would probably end up scoring a zero. In this case, retaining vegetation, which this does, you can't get positive points for it. You could lose points for retaining the...
What you doing? Dinner ain't ready. You want to come sit in the living room?
Okay.
You told them 10 minutes.
Hey, Judith, you're unmuted again. I don't know how that happened.
Okay. Protecting vegetation 3B simply says that you will not wreck vegetation while you're doing construction, that there would be limits of disturbance marked, and that way trees would not be scarred up or root systems killed as construction goes on. On a project of some significance, they'd have to submit a plan for that. Three C, stormwater simply says that you determine whether or not they comply with the state law about managing stormwater runoff. Utilities, 4A, would be, have they obtained permission to use water from the water company that serves Boulder, primarily. And that's the function of existing language in Chapter 10 of the zoning ordinance. Access to Highway 12 here is not that you have to have it, but whether or not UDOT will allow you to have it, and you'd have to show that UDOT, in fact, has approved an access permit. Access to other roads doesn't apply here. The only access is to Utah 12, but you would have the Planning Commission able to look at the safety issues involved with getting access to the roads. Undergrounding utilities would get some points if people do it. I didn't check that off on this one way or the other, but it would be a way for someone to gain points on their project. The dimensional standards are the setbacks from property lines that are in the existing zoning ordinance. They have not changed, and you'd have to see whether or not it complies. This is a long ways from both roads and other buildings, so it complies quite easily. There is a maximum parking standard here that varies by zoning district. You can have more in the general, the GMU, zoning district than in a low density residential. The idea here is to make sure that there's not too much pavement on sites, both for stormwater management and aesthetic reasons. There's a standard, this is 6C, that says, hey, if you have a dwelling in addition to your business, the parking for the dwelling can be in addition to what's provided for the business. 6D, land use intensity, is one of the most interesting ones here as well. It asks you to take a look and say, hey, is this compatible with what surrounds it, with the uses that surround it, the type of structures that surround it? You can measure that by the size of the structures, by how much of the lot they cover. And you'd have to make a judgment call. The Planning Commission would have to make a judgment call there. And you can either gain or lose points for your level of compatibility. And so this is one that would be interesting to discuss about this project. Is it in fact compatible? There's not much to the west of it or to the south of it to talk about. You'd have to take a look at what sits there to the east. And even that, there's not a lot of development. So probably not going to lose points for this, but maybe it's more intense than what surrounds it. Buffering and screening, this would be about... there's the outdoor spaces setback. So the setbacks apply both to buildings and outdoor spaces. Again, this complies easily. Buffering and screening, they have added trees along the western edge here and more intensely along the northern edge. They're keeping the existing trees. This would be a point in the evaluation where they might gain some positive points. I would think at least one for the landscaping investment they've made. But you can't put landscaping in a parking space. You have to maintain your parking. Outdoor sales, this doesn't propose outdoor sales. All they are regulated in terms of the setback and the area of the frontage they can occupy. Landscaping them is encouraged. So if you had a proposed commercial use with outdoor sales areas, that would be important. And again, outdoor sales can't conflict with required parking spaces. That's AD. 9A is a pretty important, 9A and 9B are both important. There are broadly written policies that allow the Planning Commission and the town to say, hey, a project may create some traffic problems. 9B allows the developer to mitigate that by improving an intersection, adding a lane, or any of a number of other things that could happen depending on the circumstances. But this is going to be an important one in any significant commercial development, is to make sure that there are not traffic conflicts. Off-street parking is required. We haven't changed what's required. from the existing ordinance, but we have said that excessive parking is not not permitted, and that that again is designed to reduce the amount of impervious surface, the amount of paving designed for aesthetics. You're required to have, and this is straight from the existing code, required to have at least one RV parking space for a commercial project. So you would get to the end of the first page here, sum up whether you have any absolute policies that it has failed, sum up the points that it was awarded, and move on to the next 30 standards, which deal with off-street parking, again, not being in the front setback, limit on how much of the frontage can be occupied by parking, an encouragement to buffer or screen parking areas, an encouragement for internal landscaping of parking areas. And then there's the thing about the building access, trying to have buildings be perpendicular to the road rather than parallel, so as to reduce the visual impact. And this is an interesting project for that purpose, because you have the building, the existing old gas station, I think you would have to say is perpendicular to the road. But the processing plant's long dimension is parallel to the road, and you'd have to decide how you're going to look at that. The processing plant is several hundred feet off the road. That probably affects your decision here on building access, but they probably aren't going to gain any points for that at the very least here. Conceivably, depending on how you think about the visual impact of that processing plant, you might lose a point. Then you go through a long line of standards that deal with potential nuisances. You're not uses that require a discharge permit, a permit to discharge waste to waterways from the state are not allowed in Boulder. Uses that channel runoff onto other uses or onto other properties, I should say, are not allowed. You're not allowed to put in a commercial use that requires an air quality permit. Fire code regulates hazardous materials to very small quantities. Outdoor lighting, you'd be required to show that the lighting fixtures meet the standards of the International Dark Sky Association. That's not as hard as it might sound. You can buy fixtures with the IDA seal of Lowe's. So not as hard as it would have been some years ago. Light trespass is a light that would go onto other properties and affect adjoining property owners. You'd have to look at a lighting plan for this to see how that works. Uses that generate dust and smoke, that generate intense heat or glare, noise has to be discussed here. Noxious weeds, there's a state law that requires you to get a noxious weed management plan in place before you can develop. Solid waste would be about having a plan for the disposal of solid waste. That's not a municipal function in Boulder, and so you'd want to know how they intend to deal with it. 13B is about buffering and screening solid waste disposal areas. They could gain some points there. I didn't put that on this one, so we'd have to imagine. We get into an interesting one there, 13C, discouraging or prohibiting the use of disposable food containers. And that's to knock down litter. And is not an uncommon requirement by communities anymore these days. Signs, we already have a fairly complicated set of sign standards in the ordinance. This doesn't propose to change that. It just applies it here in item 14. Operating hours, the Planning Commission could limit the operating hours of this business if they thought that that would be important to making it compatible with what surrounds it. Standardized commercial, this is essentially an anti-franchise standard that says that you are not going to permit uses that have standard uniforms, menus, and advertising and so on. In Boulder, again, that's not an uncommon requirement in small resort towns these days, is to emphasize local businesses and businesses that, partake in the community's character rather than standardized chain businesses. You're allowed to have an accessory dwelling with a business, pretty important in small towns. If you provide housing, employee housing, you can get some points there that would make up for perhaps any minor issues with the project. And since there's a duplex here, you'd assume they're going to get probably 6 positive points. And then we get into the design of buildings in a very light touch way. We talk about reflectivity. We talk about the colors and whether they're compatible with their surroundings or not. Building lines. This is saying, hey, we don't want buildings with big, long, monolithic walls. You would have to decide in reviewing this project whether a 70-foot wall that is a uniform 70-foot wall is an issue. You'd have to talk about the building itself. You'd have to talk about how far it is from the highway and see how you want to apply this particular relative standard. It might be that you lose something here because that's a very plain building. And then that would be balanced out by the gain for landscaping and employee housing. Detached forms probably doesn't really apply very directly to this type of project. We were thinking about lodging places when we brought that up, of saying, hey, cabins or casitas, something like that would be preferable in Boulder compared to, big monolithic buildings. You can get pretty big, pretty bulky hotels or motels. And so it would be encouraged to use detached forms. Finally, local value added. This is an important one, I think, for expressing people's vision of the future of Boulder, is what can you do with the resources you have, particularly with the agricultural, you know, irrigation water and the agricultural lands you have. Something like this presumably would gain points there. That would help, again, counteract, say, the building lines issue or other concerns you might have where they lose points. But at least there's a statement here consistent with Boulder's general plan that says, hey, we're going to encourage the use of our local resources. And certainly something like this could be done in Boulder and use local agricultural products. So, and that would take us down to the end where we would sum up the positive versus the negative points, see if it comes up to at least 0, see if it failed any of the absolute standards. And I know that I've run through a fairly complex set of standards quite quickly here, but I hope what you see is that the Planning Commission's review of the application to, set this in motion would be quite comprehensive, would cover the concerns of the community, would allow for some discretion, for some judgment when that's appropriate in terms of the quality of the project, and would guide people to things like providing employee housing, thinking about the appearance of the buildings, preserving existing trees, that there would be a, consideration of all those things that might be desirable as land uses change in Boulder. Again, I know that's a lot, but I'm thinking that perhaps it will set some questions in motion. And I want to go back to something that was said earlier by Colleen, is that in a meeting like this, we need to divide questions and statements with some discipline. And so when we open it up, when Colleen opens it up for questions here, we really do want to confine it to questions. And if people have a comment, then they need to chill while we're doing the questions. And when the hearing is open, they can make the comment that they want to make. Colleen, are you ready for questions?
Yeah, so at this, point, anyone in the public that has a question for Lee, as far as these commercial standard development standards, can ask any questions of him at this point.
Okay.
A lot of people have turned off their video, so I can't see anyone waving a hand or anything. So let me look at your raising a hand if you want that option.
Or somebody could use chat too.
Yeah. So
and if you're on the phone, you can either press *6 to unmute yourself or *9 to signal us that you've got your hand raised.
Not seen any hands up yet or no chats, no questions?
Okay. So can we move forward?
Yeah, I'd say, Lee, either you did a really good job or everyone's in shock and awe.
Yes. Well, it could be both. They're not mutually exclusive, I guess. But I think in the absence of questions, it's appropriate for somebody to make a motion to open the hearing and take comments.
Okay. Yeah.
So I'll make a motion to open the public hearing for comments on the commercial standard development. Is it an ordinance we're passing or amendments? What are we calling it?
It's amendments to the existing zoning ordinance and amendments to the existing general plan.
Okay. Ditto. Someone want to second that? Yeah.
I'll second it.
Oh. Yeah, Colleen.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, we do have a question from
Corilla.
Are we waiting?
Well, hold off on the vote. You've got to.
Yeah.
But
it's not a question. It's a comment more than a question. I thought I was waiting till after the vote.
Okay. Hold on.
Okay.
So we need everybody else to vote, right?
Yeah. You need to vote. You're going into a public hearing.
Okay. I seconded it.
Haley Apperson, aye.
Thank you.
Matt Cochran, aye.
Cookie Shouse, aye.
Colleen Thompson, aye. Josie there?
Josie's there, but Josie, can you hear us? Huh. She's there and she's not muted, but.
Right.
Well, we have a quorum.
Yeah, can we move? Yeah.
Yes, you do.
Okay, so we can, statements from the public are open right now.
And please do state your name before you start talking. Corla?
Okay, thank you. Corla Equinta. I don't live there, but I do own property on the Burr Trail, and I've been coming to Boulder forever. And I do a question and comment. The Planning Commission is allowing for this type of commercial use in Boulder, because my comment now comes with that building is hideous. And if your standards include the fact that it has to be on Highway 12 because of traffic, that's not what I want to come to Boulder and see. When I say I don't live there, you guys, your economic growth and your growth and the way you want your community to grow, you're the best people suited to determine that. So is that what you want in Boulder? And again, my comment is, I think it's the most hideous thing to see a building like that in Boulder.
Okay. Thanks. Got it. Let's see. Another raised hand, waving hand. Anyone want to jump in and say you want to talk? Anybody?
Lee, do you have anything to say?
Not my place to say anything.
Okay.
We'll sit on this for a second or two and let okay. people gather their thoughts here, but.
Chelsea texted everybody. I don't know if you all saw it. She says she keeps getting kicked off, intermittent internet problems. So.
Okay.
If she want to call in, she could use the phone number and call in, at least be able to listen.
It's a good idea. Looks like Pete and Tina have their hand raised.
Okay.
Hi. It's Pete. I think okay. Peter Benson. Okay. I really appreciate all the work you guys have done. I kind of missed a lot of the work in the middle there. I saw the beginning of this, and I've seen the end of it. It looks like a great process. Taking Corla's comment is relevant in that that particular standard might take more weight, but I think it's and also remember that this is just a hypothetical example, and this is you'd have to weigh all those things in an actual thing. So anyway, thank you. That's my comment.
Okay. Okay. Anyone else, Michela?
No, and I was just going to say, you'll have to lower their hand. I don't have co-hosting capabilities tonight. You need to give that to me.
I did, and then it bounced back on. Okay, thanks.
Okay.
A persistent hand.
There we go.
Can we move on, do you think?
Well,
does it look like anything's changed?
Yeah, I think you've allowed the opportunity.
Okay.
So you're going to need a motion to close the hearing.
Right. So.
So I'll make a motion to close the public hearing.
I'll second that motion, Haley Apperson.
Cochran.
All in favor, Matt Cochran.
Haley Apperson, aye.
Cookie Schaus, aye.
Colleen Thompson, aye.
Josie Mews, aye.
Okay. Oh, yay.
I'm on the phone.
Okay. Okay, is that everybody?
Yes.
Okay, so one of the things I'm going to say is I think that you really needed to be at these meetings to know what Lee just explained to all of us. This basically had, we came to these conclusions on this commercial standard because there is no more commercial property here in town. And so this is a direction that we went and so that we could develop some commercial property with these standards, with a conditional use permit. And so we, as a planning commission, have looked at this for months and months, and this is kind of where we are. And so does anyone on the planning commission have any comments?
Yeah, I'd like to make some comments just for the commissioners and the public. Is I think we started a year ago with the a separate group and the old ordinances and sort of sussed out what was important details, public involved as well with this. And then we morphed into the work that Lee was doing. And then the last actually really 6 months, not just a few months, we've been, sort of nitpicking our way through and adjusting things, running examples through these commercial development standards. And in my mind, the Planning Commission, what that exists now and in the future, has a lot more ability to sort of keep the character of Boulder as it is. And so I think it's a good job. It's nothing's ever going to be perfect. It needs to be, looked at, I think, on a yearly basis and as projects go through and tweaked, perhaps. But I'd say that we're in a much, much better position now than we were a year ago. So that's my comment.
This is Josie. I don't have a comment on the process, but before we vote to forward the proposed documents, I do have a question on the use table. So whenever that's appropriate, I'd like to go there.
Go ahead, because that's kind of where we are. Go ahead and make your comments, Josie.
Okay. So first, I guess I'm going to refer to the draft zoning definitions. And we pulled in a commercial definition there. And it says, the last sentence tells us that, I had a warning just come up on my computer, so I can't see the sentence. Okay, there we go. This term specifically encompasses more specific terms that were used in the ordinance prior to the 2021 amendments. Then it has some examples there that, you know, we pulled out, which also includes restaurant. So that said, if we look at the new Boulder use table, we still have restaurant there, as well as lodging, mobile food business, recreational facility, that's questionable, which I consider all commercial. And so I'm wondering, since we pulled some commercial out, such as professional offices, why we've left restaurant, lodging, mobile food business, and possibly recreation facilities still in the use table, showing it as conditional in the GMU. And I'm sorry to bring this up now, but I just caught it when I re-reviewed everything today.
We have to catch things when we can. And I guess the answer is that I didn't want to change that table too rapidly when we first talked about it several months ago. And at this point in time, we could take all those specifics out and just use the commercial definition that we have. So, if you're looking at it, you'd know restaurant would come out of there. mobile food business is a temporary business, so it would stay.
Okay.
But lodging would come out of there
okay.
for sure. So I can edit that table down to be consistent with this definition.
Okay. And I guess, you know, recreation facility, if that's not a given commercial, we could probably discuss that after this process when we move into RV parks and campgrounds, because that's another one
right.
that I consider commercial, but I know that's on our future agenda, correct?
Yeah, we have some questions that are open about those things because your existing ordinance gets super detailed about it, and we need to go back and satisfy ourselves that those details are the right details. And so then we might merge it back into commercial, or because we change the standards, we might leave them separate. We'll just have to see.
Okay. Yeah, I would be satisfied with just making sure the lodging and restaurant were clear that they're commercial at this
that.
Point.
I'll edit that.
Okay. That's all I have.
So I just have one comment. So guest ranch is still on there. Is that another one, or are you okay with that?
I considered guest ranch as well, but I know that is also something that we need to discuss. And it is going to be a very complex, I think, definition and standards. And so I see that being maybe another ordinance or another checklist.
Mm-hmm.
My
guess is we're going to end up with another checklist.
Yeah.
That, I mean, we don't know that for sure now, but that's how I see it when I think about it right now.
Okay, so as long as we're over this, Matt, does anyone else have any comments on what Josie just said?
I'm in agreement.
Okay, so then we'll just, as it stands right now, in the table of uses, there's just two things that we will be taking out of there. Is that correct?
That's right.
Okay. Okay. So are there any other comments by the Planning Commission?
This is Josie again.
Okay.
I'm just a question. If we leave guest ranch recreational facility, RV parks and campgrounds is open and not defined as commercial at this point, and we're passing the commercial design standards, I guess it just is a little bit of a flag to me. If we made it clear that it's commercial now, and then we move into the process of defining them further in their own separate checklist, would that perhaps be the better approach? I just hesitate to leave it wide open that, well, they didn't consider it commercial when they went through the commercial process.
I think that's a great question.
It's a good point.
And I think we could do that. I would like to leave them in the use table rather than editing them out the way we're going to edit out lodging and restaurant, because that gives us a great reminder of where we need to start in the next step. And so what I would propose that we do, since we're going to edit the use table, is we go back over here to the definition of commercial, which appears in the amended Chapter 20 in alphabetical order, and just say that guest ranches, recreational facilities, developed campsites, RV parks, I think that's the list, will be treated as commercial. And then we all know that that's a placeholder, and we might make changes. The other thing I think I need to say in response to the point that Josie raised is that the old standards for those things still exist. We're not repealing them. Okay? So there are still standards for an RV park, for example, in there that we are not repealing. And so you would still have those standards to work with if, between now and when this is redone, somebody applied for an RV park, you would have those standards to work with.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I would be satisfied if we list those that I mentioned, right. And you added developed campsite, good point, and under the commercial definition, so that we have some clear guidance there. If the question came up, we can refer to the definition of commercial. And I'd be comfortable.
I can do that.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
I agree.
Okay. All right. So then, does anybody have any questions as far as the amendments that we made on the general plan? Is everybody good with that?
I'm good with it.
Because we're getting ready to, I would like to separate, we're going to make motions to approve these and send them on to the town council. And so we're going to do them separately. So I just wanted to make sure that we talked about, we'll be making a motion to amend the table of uses, which we've just talked about. And then we are also going to make a motion to approve of the amendment to the general plan. And so I just want to make sure that does anyone else have any comments before we get ready to do this?
Colleen, this is Pat. You do have the table of uses is definitely revised, but that is part of the zoning ordinance itself. So I think when it's time to make your motion, it's important to specify that you're talking about the zoning ordinance amendments and the general plan amendments.
Okay, so that's true. Okay, so it's not the table of, thank you for clarifying that.
I mean,
so
table
that's
of
the zoning
is part of. Yeah.
Right, no, that's
absolutely
true. Okay. The table of uses is a section of the zoning ordinance.
Right. Okay, it's just in my notes here. I wrote that a little bit wrong, so okay.
Is anyone from the public allowed to ask a question, or are we still just waiting till the meeting starts to have our time?
We closed the public hearing. I mean, we had the public hearing and then we closed the public hearing.
Oh, was it at 6:30? I had my mind set for 7. I missed it. Okay.
Okay. I I guess you can make, I mean, of the questions, we started the questions at the beginning. I don't really know what to say. I'd like to try to move on. Lee?
Well, I think, you know, you've had your planning commission discussion. I don't see that there's going to be a great deal more of that before somebody makes a motion. I don't think it hurts to take a question as long as it's truly a question from the public at this point. To take a statement, you'd have to reopen the hearing, and you could do that if you want to.
No, I don't really want to. So you have a question, Donna?
Yes, I have one question, and it was,
okay.
I know we had a public hearing today. Was any of this information posted anywhere before this public hearing, all of what you've decided you're going to pass on or not pass on?
Yes, 10 days on the town website.
On the town website, okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Donna.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I feel like we need to move forward, and I'm not sure exactly how to word this. I'm going to give this a shot here. So I'm going to go ahead and make a motion that we send to the town council the amendments from the proposed development standards, an amendment to the zoning ordinance with the things that we talked about with Josie and you, Lee. So I'm not exactly sure the word is like the wording. Is that enough? Do I need to
say, Peg, do you have the email that I put the wording of the motions in?
Let's see.
Let me pull that.
Actually,
yes.
Okay, here I go.
Okay.
Because I sent you guys the wording, yesterday? Yeah.
Yeah, I thought I have that here.
Okay.
Let's see.
I have it. Do you want me to put that up?
Well,
if you could,
let's see, where is it?
It's, he said it on the 13th. That was yesterday?
Yeah, I have it.
Okay.
So where, but I can't find it right now. Let's see. And I really apologize for this.
Can you put it on the screen?
Let me see if I can. This kind of embarrassing to show my email, but yeah. Can you see it right now?
We have the hearing. Once you hit the commissioner, you can send the draft to the...
Wait. Are you looking at it now or not? I can't see the...
Yeah, so...
We're looking at part of that.
So are we sending a draft?
You're making a recommendation.
Yeah.
So, Colleen...
You're recommending to the council that they adopt these and that they adopt these zoning ordinance amendments.
Right.
So you're making two different recommendations.
Yes. So that's what I kind of said.
Colleen, yes. On the email you see on the screen?
Yes.
And the part that says, Colleen, move that. You see that?
Yes.
Okay, do that.
Okay, so I, Colleen Thompson, move that the Planning Commission recommend to the Town Council that the Town Council adopt the amendments to the general plan zoning ordinances as they were brought. Excuse me?
Yeah, the motion, I wrote it there to split, so you just need to jump.
I'm sorry. So I, Colleen Thompson, move that the Planning Commission recommend that the Town Council adopt the amendments to the zoning ordinance as they were brought to the hearing before us today on January 14th with the things that we talked about. Correct. Okay. Thank you, Lee. Sorry.
Oh, the easy part. I'll second that. All in favor?
Haley Apperson, aye.
Matt Cochran, aye.
Cookie Schaus, aye.
Colleen Thompson, aye.
Josie Muse, aye.
Okay. So now we're going to, I, Colleen Thompson, move that the Planning Commission recommend to the Town Council that the Town Council adopt the amendments to the general plan as they were brought to hearing before us tonight, January 14th, 2021.
I'll second that motion. Matt Cochran, aye.
Haley Apperson, aye.
Cookie Schaus, aye.
Josie Muse, aye.
Colleen Thompson, aye.
Okay. Great work, guys.
Thank you.
Yay.
Thank you for your patience. I have all these papers. Okay, so now, will you be leaving us, Finley?
I will leave the meeting at this point in time unless there's something else specific that you need me for. And then we'll be back together when the Town Council decides to take it up. I guess the other final thing I would say is that, this is a great milestone. You guys spent 8 months on this, 9 months on this. You've done fabulous work. And there are other issues, including the ones we talked about with recreation facilities. And there's also, I think, a substantial need to talk about housing to reflect on the experience with the subdivision that was proposed and withdrawn, and talk about how we make the ordinances help you get the type of housing that you want and need. And so if the Planning Commission wants to continue starting in February or whenever, and the mayor and council are agreeable to that, then I'm happy to continue with you working on those other ordinances.
All right. Thank you.
You bet. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so we will move on to subdivision concept plan for Sugarloaf Farms. So this is just a concept plan for the Deer Ranch subdivision. And Michela and Curtis will give us that information.
Yeah, thank you. So this is just the initial conversation. I thought Sean would be on here tonight. I know Donna is, and I should have texted him a little bit ago. Anyway, I sent the plan to all of the commission members, or Peg actually did. And let me pull open, I'll screen share. So the piece they're looking to subdivide is, everybody, some folks will know it as the old Lovato piece. So if you can you guys see my mouse?
Yes.
Okay, so over here would be Lower Boulder. And then in this area would be the Filers and the Big House. And that's this road that leads into the piece. So just to give you an idea of where it's at. And it's this piece on the north end of that property. It's 5.5 acres. And so the conversation tonight for the Planning Commission is the two main focuses should be the road. This road, you probably all saw the email from Curtis that got forwarded on his conversation points, and also fire protection. And I know Pete's on the call tonight as the fire marshal, so I'd love to hear from him. And I'm going to kind of leave it at that. We can scroll through the rest of it. I mean, this just is another detailed piece about, I don't know if that helps you guys to see a little bit better about where it's located. Did everybody on the commission get a chance to read that email from Curtis and to look at this?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So this is just the initial conversation about it. So I'm going to open it up for that now. And Curtis, you know, you're on the call, so go ahead and jump in if there's anything that I needed to further. But if you've read those details, those are the things that would be, I feel like, the necessary pieces that we should discuss before moving forward for you guys. And I'll go back up here.
Well, and we're not necessarily discussing things tonight as a planning commission. As I understand, we're just looking at this concept
yes.
plan, and you guys are giving us the information on that. Is that correct?
Yeah, and I feel like that's kind of already been done. I don't know what else there really is for me to say right now. I think if there's anything that you want to talk about, or I think in terms of, I mean, I thought I'd like to hear from everybody first before I give sort of a recommendation based on zoning ordinances and subdivision ordinances, because it's all pretty laid out in that email. I think like the main concern is this road leading in is for like a fire truck to get down there. Is that going to work? And is this going to be, and this is a pretty significant piece of property, is there going to be further subdivision requests down the line?
Right,
so,
that's one of the things I want to know.
Yeah, and if so, go ahead, whoever that
well,
was.
Well, the thing is it's 2 to 4 lots as far as the subdivision. You know, this is one lot that's being sold right now. You know, what is the future development on this road? And before we go too far on this, I would like more of that information.
Right.
And the roads. I mean, so, yeah.
Michelle, would you like me to... go a little more in depth.
Absolutely. Go for it.
Okay.
Thank you, Curtis.
Would you go ahead and put up the other plat from November of 2019, just to illustrate the point that you're dealing with? The plat from there you go. So this was November of 2019, Sugarloaf Farms. Did a concept plan for 2 lots, and then these are down where the road curves, so they're south of the one that was submitted tonight. And a concept plan is just a wide open discussion between the planning commission and the subdivider to decide, you know, to give them guidance to decide what you feel about it, how you feel the ordinance dictates this. And so the obvious issue is there's not much you can do about the road coming in past Filers and the big house and those private properties. But once it reaches this property boundary, the question becomes, what kind of road improvements would you require for a 1-lot subdivision, and what kind of fire protection, or what kind of improvements would you require for a, let's say, a 3-lot subdivision, if you look and say, well, they had a concept plan last year, now it's for that, which is effectively a 4-lot subdivision, because remember, there's no such thing as a 1-lot subdivision. The minimum is 2 lots, the masterpiece and the new piece that's cut out of it. But you replat the masterpiece, so the bare minimum under state statute is a 2-lot subdivision. So if you looked at all of this, it would be, well, though, 4 lots in the sagebrush, which is a logical kind of thing, I guess, for them to consider subdividing. But if they say, no, we just want 1 lot up in the northwest corner that we submitted here for this month, then what you wrestle with is the streets ordinance and how much engineering are you going to require. If that's a sand track that's easy to get a fire truck stuck on, what kind of improvements would you want? There's a kind of a flexibility clause built into Section 8 there, right at the bottom of the table. And do you want to put that table back up, Peg, that you had?
And which that table?
Yeah, you know, the streets table. And what it does is it said the Planning Commission can exercise some flexibility for four lots or less. Well, what they're saying tonight is one lot. What they said last November was two lots, so that's three, and plus the Mashpees, that's four. So you're kind of wrestling with asking the owners, well, what is the long-range plan here, and what can we do in order to make this work logically? And are you willing to say, well, we'll do one lot this year, one lot next year, and at what point do you say, no, you've got to have passable roads that can carry a fully loaded fire truck with full of water, and emergency vehicles can get in there, and you know the road is properly maintained. That's what the subdivision ordinance requires. So you decide what amount of flexibility do you want to exercise? And so that's, I think that's your quote concept or your open running discussion tonight is, how do you feel about all that?
Does anybody have any comments?
Can I chime in as the fire guy?
Yes.
You know, as Curtis says, it's a big problem with the road because it's a long road, and if it really is just one lot, that's a lot to ask. The other issue, fire-wise, is water and fire flows. It's a long way from I think any of the town water lines, so getting a hydrant in there would be expensive. And if you're just doing one lot, it's like, well, that's or two lots. You're creating two lots. It seems excessive to require that. But if we consider that they might want to subdivide the entire thing into 5-acre lots, well, then it wouldn't be excessive. And it's hard to, I mean, I don't know if we have any way to require that, or if we should require that, or, you know, what's feasible, or maybe we should have some kind of a development plan or a development agreement with the developer saying, if you develop this other stuff, you can't just like break off one lot at a time and not put in, you know, full infrastructure for a large subdivision. So that's, I mean, trying to figure out exactly how to do that is a problem. And you don't want to really create new lots that have kind of fire protection problems and just general kind of planning problems.
I would just add, Peter, that the mechanism for doing whatever the Planning Commission decides readily available. I mean, we can do agreement, we can do plat notes on final plats. So if you said, okay, we're just going to do that one lot, we would go with that. We just stay with that. Those are a sand track the way it is. If you felt, if the Planning Commission felt comfortable with that, but then you would add a plat note saying, if you go further with this and you did these other two lots down here, then you have to just look at the streets ordinance and follow it literally and build up the road 18 feet wide, do the engineering, base it up, get the 75,000 pound carrying capacity for a fully loaded fire truck, you know, et cetera, et cetera. You just go right down the list and say, then you agree you'll do that.
I would be uncomfortable with, even for the one lot, saying, you know, oh, a sand track is fine. I think, yeah, you know, putting some kind of surface, some gravel or something, and a maintenance plan, or a, you know, some kind of arrangement so that, you know, it would be maintained, I think is important, even for one lot, you know, for creating a new lot. But that's for you guys to decide.
Well, the fire marshal has a lot to say about that and can exercise a lot of discretion in all jurisdictions in Utah. And as far as future maintenance goes, that's very clearly spelled out in the ordinance. So there needs to be a road association, be it one lot or whatever, or well, two lots, one and the master, or whether it was four, that road association needs to be incorporated. All the lots are bound by it. They can assess each other and they have a duty to maintain and et cetera. So that those things are readily available to the Planning Commission. It's just a matter of what they want to do.
Yeah, I would be okay with something more informal for, you know, as long as it's just a couple lots. But if more lots happen, then we need to have an engineering plan and blah, blah, blah.
So are the owners on the phone or not? Because it seems like we have a lot of unanswered questions. We can't really do a whole lot if we don't know.
Hi.
Perhaps.
I'm online. I have Sean on my phone listening in. He's not on the Zoom meeting. He is able to, Mommy, hear you, and he can relay answers. He said that the first two lots, we had originally been thinking the same owner, the same buyer that's coming in, we were going to sell those to him. And ended up renegotiating for the other piece. So right now there's not really any plans for any other subdivisions. It switched. It was the same exact person. And we're, you know, I'm sure willing to work with you again if we decide to re-subdivide. But right now those are sort of moot and off the table for us. And we don't have any other immediate plans to do any other subdivisions.
Okay, thank you. So, I mean, what I'm hearing is it's a two-lot subdivision, and I'm also hearing the fire marshal say that maybe not a sand track, but at least a gravel base for that road would be appropriate for something like that. Is that correct?
Yeah.
That would come with a building permit.
Okay, I don't have any other questions at the moment.
Do you have anything else you want me to add, Sean? That's pretty much it now, unless you have other questions for us.
I kind of feel this, will you put that picture back up again? So Peter, are you saying too that, would you want a better road going just down to those two lots? So it would actually be coming straight in from Lower Boulder.
Right. Go past Filers and the big house. And then turn that corner, go up past those fields, and then, you know, get to that lot. Mm-hmm. I don't know. The map, there's a road that shows that's coming from the north. But I assume it's not really a road. Is that true, Donna?
Hi, I just had to unmute it. Yes, I do know. There is another road and it does go in there. And we've been told by Robesons that they have used it because there's to come in that way. Sean says we use it for the pond. We go in either in both directions, that road and the one that you originally.
You'd have the choice of improving one road or the other.
Yeah.
If that was one was a problem and one was easier, you could do that.
Mm-hmm. Could I interject? Could you guys explain a little clearer in words what road you're talking about that would be other than the weather?
Tell you that it's the road that goes in up to Jane's and then over to the pond, and it goes right through the corrals, which is part, I think, I may be misspeaking here, but I believe that it goes right into the piece that we want to subdivide.
So we're looking at that little
residences.
We're looking at that little red outlined piece, and this is a road that continues on beyond the corner of that little red piece. Is that what?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, it goes off of that top left corner.
Okay, got it. Thanks.
Does anybody have any comments?
Hi, this is Josie. Just one. I'm not seeing on the conception plan the width and length of the lot.
We do have standards that need to be met there. I can see the length, but it's not clear what the width is.
Do you know?
Okay, there we go.
Does that help, Jesse?
Let me switch my screen here.
Let me look.
So we've got our length. I can see that, yeah, there's lengths, and we have two different lengths listed. One's 126, one's 166. We're not seeing the width.
Okay. And Sean thought it might be in the legal description. Do you have another piece of paper? Excuse me, sorry.
Sorry.
I just pulled up.
Okay.
Zoning ordinance.
Yeah, and Josie, what are the dimensions? Sort of, there's a width by length sort of requirement.
Yeah.
Right.
I think it's 1 to 3, but I'm looking it up right now so I can tell you for sure.
I think it's 1 to 3, too.
Shoot. Oh. I'm kind of confused with this because I can't. Is this on the north end of the property?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's the northwest corner.
Okay, so it comes in where there were filers is. So you're looking at, this is past where Craig Lovato's house was.
Right.
Yes.
So this is a different spot than before, isn't it? Wasn't it south before?
Yeah, this is the prior request. This is not the current one. This is from 2 years ago, this last November.
Oh,
and then this is the current one.
Oh, so it's farther up into, okay, I get it. I'm glad I asked because I was confused. Okay. Yeah, I think that is one thing that we've talked a little bit about, and where are we? So is this just one piece? It's not two any longer. It's one piece on the north side.
Correct. Yeah, so it would be a two-lot subdivision versus the proposed. This one before would have been 1, 2, 3.
Three.
So this one is just
one.
Two.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and it's 5.5 acres. Okay.
Correct.
Yeah, I guess what is the future of this? Would there be more pieces broken off? Once we hit a certain number, then it goes into a subdivision effect, but we have to decide right now what this one lot, two lots actually. Sorry, I'm talking out loud to myself.
Well, that's why the conversation is, you know, do we agree to move forward with a two lot subdivision and put provisions in that say, if you're just going to have these two, fine, but if you decide down the road that you want to subdivide it further, that then we make the road, but you know, the road and the fire protection, that's kind of the issue.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. It does. Okay. Like I said, I was confused there for a little bit because I couldn't figure out where it was. So I also see a road coming off to the right there. Is that a road that goes to nowhere?
This?
Yes.
To be honest, I don't know. That would be maybe a Curtis or anybody that knows that property. Donna, that's a better question. Like, I'm assuming, I mean, this looks like the road that comes in from there and comes all the way up, because if you look at the property layout, you can see, I'm assuming that's right in here, because it leads up to these structures, and then does it come out somewhere? Like it goes right in through there and then goes out, I think. Can you guys see that? I know it's small.
Okay. All right. Does anybody else have any comments?
It's Josie again.
Okay.
So table 2 in the zoning ordinance is where the lot widths and lengths are specified, and it is the lot width is no less than 1/3 of the lot length. So, yes, 1 to 3. And that, we would need to clarify that because it's not looking like it meets that standard. Just from, you know.
Okay. So that's something else we need to look at then.
That's a very good point, Josie, because that would mean that the road would have to be either rerouted or become just a driveway. But this goes up to the upper fields, and so, and you can't have the road bifurcate the lot. So you'd have to move the road or just make it a driveway if in fact the entrance is from the south there. But you're absolutely right. It needs to be 1 to 3.
Yeah, and that be, I don't know how the surveyors do it because the length, the full length, the longest length of that lot is like 856 feet, which means the, you know, the standard width would have to be about 288 feet. Mm-hmm. But there's probably some variation because it's not a simple rectangle either. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we need to do some research on that.
Yeah.
Is there a reason why it is this odd shape? Is it the contour of the land or why are these, there's like 3 different points that look weird?
I'll make a comment. Sean said that's because of the way the road and the topography fit, that it made sense that that's the way it is.
Okay. Okay. But then we still need to keep in that, it, in mind what Josie said as far as what will be legal and what won't be as far as the requirement on the size on, and the shape. So we do, you do need to look into that. And I'm also, it's like, what is the future of the property? Will it just be this split into 2 and
Okay, I'll make a comment. I'll make the comment. As of now, this is the only subdivision planned for that property. We can't guarantee you that we won't have to do or want to do something 10 years from now, but there are no other plans to divide that.
Okay.
So that would mean that we would definitely have to put some restrictions.
And provisions,
And provisions on that.
Thanks for
clarifying that, Donna. That makes it easier.
No, I will say that there, I think you just look at it as it is now, and if you want to put some stipulations in, that's fine, but you need to be consistent with what you do with everyone, with all other, you know.
Oh, we will. That's what this whole thing has been about.
Okay.
Definitely will get the same treatment.
All right.
Thank you. Yeah, I would agree with Cookie on that for sure. So.
Okay.
Can I ask Donna a question?
Go ahead, Curtis.
Donna, you talked about an alternate route into that lot, a different road, and I'm confused about that. Are you not talking about the southern road shown, the typical road in there?
No, what I'm saying is that you all mentioned the north road, so I mentioned that we do use the north road also. It's kind of a loop. It starts from the north and can go in one way, or it can come in from the south and go in another way. It sort of loops around the big mountain up there, the Thompson Ledge.
So that's
that goes back into Jane's property and Mike Nelson, right? And goes and you goes is that it?
Back on the,
it has a
on
standard
the west side of Thompson
already.
Ledge.
Yeah.
Well, that raises the question of whether you have an easement through the Nelson roundy Nelson property there.
Yeah, we have been looking into that, and as far the last word I got was that we do. It's a grandfathered easement and access. It has been in use for that property since before Mike or Jane ever came, and it's in use to go to the ponds, and it's been used by the Robinsons, and I'm sure before. We can research that.
Okay, well, that would be one of those things that would have to be cleared up, and you'd have to decide which, you know, if the Planning Commission is going to decide what improvements are made to a road in order for a fire truck to get in there, even if they're minimal, like whatever Pete's willing to do as fire marshal, you first have to tell us, well, what is the access you're proposing? Right now, we're just assuming it's the south access, but if that's incorrect, we need to know that. And then we also need to know that those other landowners have been notified and that they do agree with you, because the town doesn't get in the middle of, doesn't make a decision for property owners about what your rights are versus their rights are in that easement. So that would need to come back with that. So we need to know, the Planning Commission needs to know, which route are you choosing?
Okay, Sean's listening, so I'm not able to answer that. Hold on 1 second.
I don't think we need that answer. Do we need that answer right now? Probably, yeah.
Just, he's giving me something. If you'll give me a second, I'll relay that to you.
Does anyone else have any questions?
It seems to me like maybe instead of going through this one thing at a time, like it seems like the property isn't of the right configuration. There's all these different things with the roads. Can they go clear up some of this stuff and then we meet again? Because time is, we're sitting here.
that's what this is all about, right, Curtis?
Exactly. This is just an open field discussion. Yeah. No decisions are made tonight. No commitments can be made.
So, right. Colleen,
yeah.
I have a chat comment from Jennifer it is something that maybe they should add, and that is more identification on the map that includes maybe owner names around the other lots and where the existing structures are on the piece of property, just to make the map itself more clear.
I feel the same way. Yeah.
Same way as with that North Road ought to continue on and show where that, put some context into the map. So that seems to be what Jennifer is asking to be added, which makes sense.
I feel the same way.
So I'm going to just add that we would like you to consider the South Road being the access for now, which I just brought up the North because someone had asked about it and admitted there is another road there. But Sean said he would like you to consider the south entrance as the access entrance.
Okay.
And yeah, thank you.
Okay. Does anyone else have any comments? So I think the thing is I think we do have some questions, a couple of questions, and Curtis and Michaela, I'm sure you, can get in touch with Sean and then bring it back next month and we'll talk about it a little more.
Yeah, I have one more question or request too, is where are there are three wells in the property, where are they located for septic and how all that sort of stuff works would be nice to see as well.
Okay. So is everybody set with that? Because we'll go ahead and move on then with our RSTR mapping update. I don't know if there's any information, Michaela.
To be really honest, I totally forgot that I was going to tally that for this meeting until I saw it on the agenda and I was like, oops.
Okay.
I was working on the budget, so I will. It's in all caps on my to-do list. I will have it done and I'll send it out to you prior.
Okay, for next. So we'll just go ahead and put it on the agenda. Okay.
My apologies.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Well, we had a lot tonight anyway, so yeah. So we'll put that on the agenda for next month. And then we need to set the 2021 meeting, the day and time. Is everyone okay with the meeting, the time and the days that we're doing now?
Yeah.
So we meet on Thursdays, second Thursdays. at 6 o'clock in the winter and 7 o'clock or whatever. Yeah. 6 o'clock.
Daylight saving time. Yeah.
So everyone went okay with our, with the schedules that we're doing right now?
I am.
Do we make a motion?
I am.
Okay, yeah, good. I think you should make a motion, vote on it.
So I'll make a motion that we keep the same date and time for 2021, which is the second Thursday at those two different times, depending on the time of year. And
I'll second that motion. All in favor, Matt Cochran, aye.
Haley Apperson, aye.
Cookie Schaus, aye.
Josie Muse, aye.
And Colleen Thompson, aye. Okay, so upcoming business, we will have, I assume that the Deer Ranch subdivision will come back to us. Should we put that on the agenda or wait?
Well, put it on for now and see what happens.
And we have the RSTR mapping update. And it looks like that's it.
Well, are you looking to get more back into some of the Lee Nellis stuff for February?
Yeah, so I guess the thing is we should put that on the agenda and see what direction that we're going to go from for now then.
Okay.
So, yeah, let's put that on there, what direction we're going to go from now on. So that'll be three items. Does anybody else have any comments? And then we'll open it up for final comments if anybody has final comments in the public.
Corla.
Yeah, I'd just like to, I'll start my video again. I'd just like to thank you guys again, as I do every month. I've been to some of those Nellis training sessions. God bless Zoom. And you guys have worked so hard and so long on all this stuff. And again, it's a thankless job, but you know, everybody should appreciate the time and effort that y'all have put into it. And in a public meeting, everybody has a chance to comment and put their two cents in on what they like and don't like and what they'd like to see. So keep plugging forward, you guys. You're doing a great job, I think.
All right. Thank you. Any other comments?
I see no raised hands. Anyone?
So I'll make a motion that we close the January 14th meeting.
I'll second that. All in favor, Matt Cochran, aye.
Haley Apperson, aye.
Cookie Schaus, aye.
Josie Muse, aye.
And Colleen Thompson, aye. Okay, I think that's it. Thank you all.
Thank you
very much.